Rexomatic Records with your hosts Rex Anderson, Tom Hughes, and Andy Kern. This is a show dedicated to pretty much anything we want to talk about.
All right. Well, welcome everyone to this afternoon's Rexomatic Records. We have on the line an array of big for his agers. We have Gary Oreskovich. Gary, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Rex.
Okay. We also have Kathy Anderson.
Yay.
Kathy, right. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. And Greg Anderson. Greg, are you there?
Woo!
Yeah. We also have on the line Ben Anderson. Ben, are you there?
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. And then as usual, we have Andy Kern and Tom Hughes here. So we're going to take a few minutes. We're going to kick it off with Ben Anderson before he leaves for his other career, which is that of a chef. I'm going to turn this over to Tom Hughes and let him ask a few questions to get us started.
Ben, how are you? This is Tom. I hope you're hearing me.
I am. Are you hearing me?
Yes, I am. The Little Drummer Boy. Was that your inspiration? To start hitting those drums? Because, man, that's a song that drives me nuts. Well, something got you beaten on the walls of the doors or something. If you're like me, your parents locking you in your room. And I would beat out a rhythm to tell my friends.
I don't know. I guess when I was a little kid, my mom said I always used to pull out the pots and pans and start banging on them. So maybe that's where it started. And then Rex had a drum kit when I was a kid. And I remember going over to his little apartment and hitting on those drums. And that, I think that's what inspired it all, really.
Now, I've played a number of instruments over the course of, but I have never been able to play the drums. I lack that interior sense of rhythm. So do you feel like that was something just innate or something that you developed, like you said, from the time you were a kid beating on pots and pans and you've just built on over the years?
It was just something that was somewhat innate. I'm not quite sure. When I started taking drum lessons, that was one thing my drum teacher was always very adamant about. He was always saying, you could be the worst drummer as long as you can keep beat. People will want to play with you. So that was always something that was in my head. Yeah, I think I just innately always kind of had rhythm in me. Like, because I'm the exact opposite. I could always play the drums. But when it came to any other instrument, I was not very talented.
Uh-huh. And now you're not only beating drums, but you're beating eggs for a living as well. Is that true?
Yeah, a few eggs. Uh-huh. Definitely. Specifically more on the pizza side. So flour, water, salt, yeast is what I mainly deal with.
So Ben, one of the things that you had a kind of unique experience on the Big for His Age 2 album is that you came in to play drums on the song Old Man. And that song had the opportunity to work with Dan Tomlinson at his studio. And so for us, it was sort of a chance to see how you would do in doing a studio recording, because you obviously have played a lot of gigs with us over the years live and all of that. I'll set up here in just a second to play a little bit of Old Man, but maybe talk a little bit about your experience in working with Dan and kind of what steps you guys went through. Did you get it all in one take? Did you have to work on a couple of things? Give us a little bit of a behind the scenes of what you did for the drum tracks on that song.
Fun. He was very open and he was very nice, which was great because I was quite nervous when I went in there. So sitting down at his amazing drum kit was pretty amazing. He had this really great DW kit that was probably the best kit I've ever played on. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, as far as the recording went, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 tracks that we did. It wasn't too many. I practiced the song a lot at home before I went in. I think because I was so nervous, I just wanted to get it right as best I could. And I think by the 3rd or 4th track, I think we had something figured out. And he was really nice and eager man to help me out and really patient with me, which was really great.
Well, you did a great job on the tracks, and let's just play a little.
Well,
yeah, let's just play a little bit of that song.
Old man,
So that was a little bit of Old Man. And on that song, it's also kind of unique that in addition to having Ben playing the drums on there over in Dan Tomlinson's studio, we also have Greg Anderson, who's on the line here with us, who played bass on that particular song. So, Greg, I know you've kind of switched back and forth between bass and guitar, but you've played a lot of shows with Ben over the years, and a lot of times, I think maybe more so when you're playing bass, I see you kind of keeping eye contact with him and keeping in rhythm there.
Well, you try to connect with the drummer as much as you can when you're playing bass.
Greg, you and Kathy and Gary were all around at the start of the Big For His Age band, and I'll throw a couple photographs up here while we're talking of some of those days. We've got a long history of playing together. We've focused this album on being a vinyl record. What's some of your sort of vinyl memories, maybe some of the first records that you guys got into your collection?
It's the Caravels. It was the very first vinyl record I ever bought. It was my brother's band, 1966.
66, wow.
I bought it at Bill's Records in Christown Mall.
Well, so those who don't know, Greg's brother is a guy named Rick Anderson, and he's a bass player for a band called The Tubes. But back then, it was a young band called The Caravels, which he eventually moved into. What was the band after that, Greg?
Superfine Dandelion.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, too. That one's got
They had some success with that, albums and stuff, too. And then there was another one in between that I don't remember the name of. I was very young. I was 10 years old when he was. So I never saw any of his bands or anything like that. But this record actually got airplayed locally here in on Crux and Chris, were the two pop stations in town that actually played that record.
Wow. After that, I think they moved into the Beans before becoming the Tube. Did you ever get to see the Beans perform?
Oh, know? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you
yeah.
did?
I was old enough to go to see them and stuff. I was probably 13 or 14 at that point.
Yeah.
It was interesting growing up in a family where, my brother was a pretty successful local musician and stuff here. And so when I decided to play guitar, my parents weren't too opposed to it and stuff, even though they were pretty tired of hearing people play loud instruments in their house.
And what other albums would you have started getting after that time, Greg?
Actually, I didn't. I had a pretty limited, because there was a budget sort of thing, because we weren't very rich and stuff, so I didn't exactly go out and buy albums. But my oldest brother, Mitch, got drafted in 1968, and he had an extensive vinyl collection. Matter of fact, he sold a lot of them on eBay since and stuff, but he probably had about 300 albums in 1966. And I got to take care of that album collection while he was in Vietnam, and got to go through all the Jefferson's Airplanes and Jimi Hendrix's and everything. So it was, I got to listen to everything that was, kind of current up till 1966 or 68 when he got drafted and stuff. And then I didn't return to buying albums again until he came home, because there was no reason to.
Yeah, back when albums were so expensive too, huh? Like $2 or $3 an album.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It took a lot to save up for that.
Greg was saying too, I had a brother that was not famous like yours, but they were able in those days. They went from Butte, Montana to Helena, Montana to record a 45 and a 78. And he was he didn't care for the records. One of them was a remake of the Mighty Quinn and then an original song that they did. And believe it or not, he called me just the other day about 4 months ago, and he said, "You know where those records are?" I said, "Yeah, I kept them. I have them." Well, if you can send them to this guy, they're looking to recapture that 60s sound, and he'll, you know, he's going to give me some money for it. Well, my brother's an Episcopalian priest, so he doesn't, you know, have a ton of money or anything like that. So anyway, those two, the 78 and the 45, I think he paid him like $1,200 for it or something.
Wow.
Nice.
So I thought that was pretty impressive. He said, "Why didn't you throw it away?" I said, "I'm the sentimental one in the family."
Well, Gary, in addition to the vinyl from your brothers, what's your first recollection of actually going out and maybe purchasing a vinyl record?
Well, much like Greg said, I mean, we did not come from money, so you didn't have a lot of extra money to go buy a lot of albums. So the first recollection of music, I mean, vinyl that I remember in the house, yes, my brother would come home from college with, you know, three or four albums. But my brother that went to law school like yourself, he worked for UPS. And while he was working for UPS, he bought a really nice stereo and got a really nice vinyl collection. So I benefited from that just like you know, uh-huh. Just like you did. So I, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, you know, is Abbey Road always sticks in my mind. But I, you know, I was kind of a Boz Scaggs freak too, and I remember almost playing a hole all the way through that album. So that was kind of some of my, you know, initial stuff. And I know why Greg looks at the drummer, because Kathy's taught him well.
There are connections.
Well, that's a good point, because when we first started, Kathy was our drummer. And played a lot of gigs with us early on, and still continue to play with us singing songs and doing background vocals. Kathy, what's your first recollection of a vinyl record, knowing that you kind of came from a place that was sort of famous for music?
Lived in the Memphis area until I was about 14. We also did not have money. My parents were public school teachers. My dad was also a minister. I had two older siblings that I kind of relied on their collection. My sister was into the Rolling Stones and different popular music of the day. I wasn't really a Beatles fan because I was born a little too late for the big, you know, excitement of them coming to America, but probably it was something like a Sly and the Family Stone 45 that I got. I'm going to say Dance to the Music. I was all about soul music because that was very big in the Memphis area. Anything that had a good rhythm to it. We used to have gospel singers come to our church, our little tiny church, on Sundays for like an afternoon of just, you know, music. My mother taught piano, so I tried piano lessons and I failed miserably and was probably an embarrassment to her, but I just didn't have the attention for it. And as far as drumming, I picked that up when I was about 10 or 11 with a couple of friends. We were going to have a band and we did Smokey Robinson music. We loved, Eric Burdon, War, the Jackson 5. It was kind of a big array of different people. Anyway.
Was this a girl band?
What?
Was this a girl band?
No, it was two girls and one boy.
Oh.
Principal of the school, his son, and then one of the other teacher's daughters and myself, because our parents were hanging out at school after the school day. We'd hang around at the house of the principal, and that kid had a drum set. And then I kind of lost track of drums until I was about, 17, and I met Greg, and he was a roommate of my sister's. They had a drum set in their garage, and my brother-in-law actually kind of taught me.
We would have big jam sessions every Saturday night.
Yeah.
And big parties at this house we lived in during college. And it was we went to school, we took music in school. So we had a lot of friends who were musicians and stuff that would come hang out and jam with us every Saturday night in our little workshop area and stuff. And that was a very good learning curve for me to learn to play with people and stuff, because we were always having different musicians, and you know, they would come in after they would actually play live gigs, and they'd show up, you know, at midnight or something at our house and want to jam. So, and so Kathy would sit on drums because my roommate Jerry got tired of playing the drums all the time because he was the only drummer we had.
But I never cared for the recording process myself. I think I have an attention deficit thing because I don't have the focus for it. That's just me. But I really admire people that can do that over and over and over and over.
Well, it was really nice having you guys come back into the studio to help out a little bit on the Big for His Age 2 album. I know we had Gary, Kathy and Greg all in on one particular day, and we did some background vocals. Let's just pick up a little bit. I'll play some of the song that you guys did background vocals on. Now, this would be Gary and Kathy doing the backgrounds on this one.
Everything it means to you.
Yeah, there we go. That was a fun day getting everybody into the studio and around the microphone and doing some of those harmonies. I know over the years, Kathy, when you stopped playing drums with us, you still tolerated us enough to come in on shows and do background vocals. Some of the photos that I'm putting up here as we talk are from back in those days. There's one out on a patio.
Kathy, did you sing and drum at the same time, or you just did one or the other?
I did both.
So you're almost Karen Carpenter.
Oh, that was her hero. Actually, she was my hero when I was 12. I loved Karen Carpenter.
She had a magnificent voice.
Yeah.
No, in some of the more serious bands we've been in and stuff, Kathy sang pretty predominantly, you know, would be the lead singer in some cases, playing drums and stuff.
Yeah, it's always fun to see the drummer as lead singer. It doesn't happen nearly enough.
No, it doesn't.
It's awfully fun to watch, though.
She's a great singer, too.
Aw.
It's true.
I got you.
It comes very naturally for her.
Thank you. One singing lesson? This might be my last chance before my voice goes, because it's starting to... Uh-huh. Yeah, the... Parkinson's is changing it a little bit. In fact, you know, I was talking to Rex a little bit about this, and when he called me to sing background on this, he reached me at a really challenging time. Go ahead, somebody else talk.
Okay. Well, I will say that too, that, yeah, you know, Gary was with the band a bit at the beginning, but hasn't been able to play with us over the last, you know, 5 or 10 years or so. And unfortunately, he developed this Parkinson's disease that makes it very difficult for him to play the guitar, which, of course, he loves as a singer-songwriter. And, of course, he had two songs on the first album all those years ago on the first Big for His Age album. So having him come into the studio and asking him to do some background vocals for us was really an honor and a pleasure to have him around and get that energy back. I know he was hesitant at first, saying, well, what can I really add? But it was really great having the vocals there and having you two in the studio at the same time.
It was like old times, yeah.
Make me laugh. That's what works the best. Anyway. That's the best. But yeah, that, I mean, that got me out of a deep, deep depression. And yeah.
Well, we appreciate you participating. Yeah. Andy.
This is about music. This isn't about emotion.
Well, when Kathy stopped drumming for the band after the first album came out, we picked up another drummer on one of our at one of our shows, and it was a friend of Greg's, a guy named Bill Keeling, and Bill played with us for several years, and he was a real energy source for the band. I'm throwing up a picture as we talk here of that was shot up in Seligman, Arizona when we did a gig up there. And he was not a real tall guy, so sometimes he was a little bit hard to see behind the drums all around it, but you could sure hear him all the time, the energy that he put into his drums. And he also played, what was that guitar, Greg, that he played? Kind of a vintage...
National guitar.
National guitar. Yeah, so he definitely had that sort of jangly sound going on when he played that. The picture that we're looking at, he's playing the National and I'm playing the Rickenbacker. And I see Mark in the background there with a bass. And let's see, who would have been on drums at that moment?
Hey,
I'm not sure.
Probably Kathy.
Kathy. It would be Kathy.
Yeah, I'm trying to run.
Invisible Kathy.
Yeah.
Virtual Kathy.
That's it, virtual Kathy.
But Bill's no longer with us, but we sure miss his energy, and we appreciated his time with the band, and just sorry that we couldn't get him on some of the recordings. We always played a few of his original songs, which we would have loved to have recorded. But I think he'd be happy to hear this record when it comes out, particularly the energy of all of you guys over the years that have participated. Any last follow-up questions, Tom or Andy, before we kind of wind this down a little bit?
I'm just curious about, is Kathy, are you still singing up front or back up?
No, I've kind of retired from that. I mean, I sing around the house, I sing in the car, I sing in the shower, I'll sing to the dog, I sing to anybody who'll listen. But I mean, no, I think music's always been a part of my life. I just love music, and you know, I like it all from Vivaldi to Van Halen to Rage Against the Machine to Big for His Age. I mean, it's all good in my mind that if it's something that moves me, I'll sing along to it. I don't care where I am.
Yeah, no, when you mentioned Sly and the Family Stone, they were a great influence in my life, and I think also for bass players. I think it was Larry Johnson who was the bass player for Sly.
Yes.
And a legendary bass player, and had to be an inspiration, I think, to Greg, if you listen to him.
I probably didn't really.
Greg to Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah, I really didn't do soul music before her.
He introduced me to things like Frank Zappa, Captain Beefheart. I had never really experienced them before, so we kind of have always done that. You know, here, listen to this. But yeah.
Okay, where did the Patti Smith picture come from? Is that you?
Patti Smith? Yeah, yes. There's Patti Smith and Patti Smith, both now, great voices. Patti Smith is, I fell in love with her when I was 17. We got to see her about 7 years ago at a music fest. And she's a great, she was kind of that punk pop kind of stuff, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s. Poet, loved her.
Okay, well, thanks everyone for participating in this afternoon's podcast and for your contributions to the Big for His Age 2 album, scheduled for release on November 20th.
And to get my records, you can keep my old CDs.